one of my favorite series of movies is Die Hard. And the reason I like those movies, because by the end of the movies, the bad guys get it. The bad guys get what they deserve. You know, they die the most horrible death you can imagine by Hollywood. And I just enjoy those movies. Kind of like the prophet Jonah. The people of Nineveh, the people of the city Nineveh, by the way, which still exists today, the city of Nineveh is in Iraq. The Ninevites are no longer there, I mean, after thousands of years now. Now the Iraqis live there, but in the Old Testament, the city of Nineveh, the people there, were evil people, and they were going to die. And God said to Jonah, the prophet, go and tell them to repent so that they will not die. And Jonah did not want to go because Jonah wanted for the bad guys to die. And so Jonah got on a ship that goes the opposite direction to Nineveh. And God, of course, was not pleased. So God caused a big storm to endanger the boat. And Jonah realized what was going on, so he confessed to his boatmates that this is God's doing because I am running away from doing what God asked me to do. God wants me to go to the city of Nineveh to tell them to repent because God doesn't want for them to die. But I want them to die. So I'm on this boat going away from Nineveh. Now God is causing this storm, so you are in danger because of me. Throw me overboard so you can save your lives. And so the people threw him overboard, and you know the story. God had a big whale swallow Jonah. And for 3 nights, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and the whale headed right back and spitted him out on the shore of the city of Nineveh. So Jonah had no choice. He woke up from the belly of the whale. There he is, in Nineveh. So he went through the city of Nineveh in 3 days, reluctantly telling the Ninevites, repent or you will die. And the people put on sackcloth, all of them, from the king to the people, and they turn away from their evil ways and turn to God. That's the gist of the story of Jonah and the whale. The message of the story, of course, is that God wants for all people to be saved. The Ninevites were not Jews. They were foreigners. They were not the chosen people of God. And yet God did not want for them to die in their sins. God wants for all to repent so that they can be saved. And that leads us to the gospel. If I ask you, what do you think the word that the Lord Jesus used the most when he preached? I bet you a lot of people would say love. But you will be wrong. The word love was used by the Lord Jesus in the Gospels 18 times. That's all. 18 times. The word that was used 180 times is repentance. Repent. I know people would say, well, you know, the Lord Jesus doesn't have to say the word love. He is love. The way he behaved, the way he acted, the way he treated people. He preached love, obviously. But the point is still, he used the word love 18 times, and he used the word repent 180 times. And we hear that in the gospel today. When John the Baptist died, you remember John the Baptist was the one that pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God. He prepared the hearts of the people for the Messiah. And here he is, the Messiah. The first sermon that he gave, we heard in the gospel today, was repent and believe in the gospel. Of course, the gospel is the good news. And the good news is God wants for all to be saved. However, God cannot save us unless we repent. See, repentance is this amazing gift that God gives to us, that it can stop God in his track. God is meant to save all, but without repentance, God cannot save us. Why? Because God is a gentleman. He doesn't want to force love on us. He doesn't want to force salvation on us. He wants to save us all. But we have to turn away from our sins and turn to God. That's what repentance is. And that's the only way. It is our free will that God respects. So it is when we repent that the floodgate of forgiveness, mercy, salvation is open and sweep us to God. But until we repent, that cannot happen. And so the most important theme of the Lord Jesus' preaching is repentance. And by the last sermon, today we heard the first sermon. The last sermon was the one he gave before he ascended to heaven. What did he say? He said to the disciples, go and tell people to repent for the forgiveness of sins. I know that we don't like to hear that because we rather hear love, because love is, you know, sounds warm and fuzzy. Repentance sounds judgmental. Repentance means something is wrong with me. I have to change. I have to turn away from the wrong things about me so that I can turn to God, so that God can save me. And yet that is the message of the gospel. Repent. Now, this should not be a difficult thing to accept, actually, because you and I know well that we are imperfect. None of us here is perfect. While God is perfect, he is perfect in his innocence. He is perfect in his goodness. He is perfect in purity. Any one of us here can say that I am perfect, that I am innocent, that I am all pure, that I am all good. Anyone here? Because if you think that way, I need your name to send to the Vatican to have you canonized. But none of us is. That's the reality. We all in need of constant conversion, constant turning away from our selfish self and turn to God. That's repentance. And that's the message of the gospel. And for us, my brothers and sisters, as Catholics, the concrete way to express our repentance, that I repent, is to go to confession. Simple. Way back in the 19th century, there was an exorcism that took place in Kentucky. It is recorded that the person who was possessed by the demons was so violent that they had to find a out-of-the-way place to perform the exorcism, because the person that was possessed was roaring like a lion, shaking buildings and things. So they decided at a convent in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky, and they provided a space for the exorcist. They had to tie down the victim because the demons are manifesting in ways that are very terrifying. And to intimidate the exorcist, the demons would have the victim vomit on the priest every day. And so the sisters who live in that convent became the assistants, you know. They come and clean up the mess every day. And one time, and you know, part of the exorcism is this game that the demons play with the exorcist. For example, the exorcist in those days pray the prayer of exorcism in Latin. And the demons, through the victim, would say to the priest, "You pronounced that word wrong." You know, who knows how Latin is pronounced nowadays, right? So the priest go to the seminary and we learn what we learn, how to pronounce certain things in Latin. The demon said to the priest, "You pronounced that word wrong." This is one of the words in the prayer to exorcise the demon. And the demon said, you're wrong. This is how you pronounce it. So things like this, the demons would do to intimidate the priest. So one day, the demons started, you know, as usual, vomiting. And the nuns come in to clean the mess. And as the sisters were doing their thing quietly, the demons started to name the sins of each nun. One by one, the nuns run out because it's embarrassing. Sister so-and-so did this, A, B, C, D, you know, he started listing their sins. And they all run out, except for this elderly nun, quietly still doing her cleaning. And the exorcist saw the weakness of the demons right away, said, "How come you were able to name the sins of all the other nuns? And how come Sister Mary Joseph, how come you cannot say anything about her?" The demons responded by saying, "I do not know her sins, because she had just gone to confession." If you have not been to confession for a while, repent. That's the message for all of us. Repent, my brothers and sisters, because the good news is that God wants to save us all. But the gate is locked because God respects you and me. Until we give Him permission, until we surrender, until we repent, the floodgate of mercy, the floodgate of forgiveness, do not touch us. And so, although I enjoy Die Hard every year, I watch it, I rewatch it every year, all three movies. Love it. The bad guys die horribly at the end. I love it. But I have to repent too. I have to repent. Repent for my thoughts, my wanting, my desire for justice, right? I have to accept the justice of God that is meted out with mercy. And so at this Holy Mass, my brothers and sisters, let us repent and believe in the gospel.